श्री राधा कृष्ण गोपियां श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरी गोवर्धन की जय श्री वृंदावन नाम की जय श्री माया प्रणामी नाम की जय गंग माई की जय जमुन माई की जय तुलसी देवी की जय भक्ति देवी की जय समवेद भक्तवृंद की जय ट्रांसेंडेंटल बुक डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की जय हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय Go Premanandi, all glorious to some of the names. All glorious to some of the names. All glorious to some of the names. All glorious to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Guru. So we're going to have a little discussion here about Brahmacharya. Om Gyanatam Arandasya Gyananjana Shlapaya Chakshumalitam Dena Tadmai Shri Yuvayama Mukham Kota Vajam Kamu Namai Deva Yat Kripatara Ham Bande Shri Guru Dena Tadnam Vanchakapati Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Deva Chaparitana Pavane Vyavaisare Vyo Namam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Saraswati Gaura Bhakti Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Yesterday I was listening to a class of Srila Prabhupada, and he said, pious life means brahmachari, because the life of a brahmachari is very simple, dedicated to Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's stated that the life of the brahmachari is such that he doesn't eat too much. When you get into grihastha life, it's generally the belly gets big, quick, because your wife is there cooking, and it's also more anxiety. So you eat more, your anxiety, you eat more. Brahmachari means simple life. So we don't have to eat very much. So it said that the brahmachari is expert in executing responsibilities. This is one of the symptoms of a devotee, is daksha, expert. So we should be very expert. Whatever duties we perform, we should do it very nicely. This is our service to Krishna. So, the details in our devotional service are very important. We should do them very nicely, because it's being done for Krishna, for the spiritual master, like that. A brahmachari is faithful to his guru, to also within our ISKCON society, faithful to ISKCON. Faithful to the Guru, faithful to our leaders. Of course, one may say, well, so many of our leaders have fallen short of their responsibility. But we shouldn't go into that too much. You all heard the class this morning? Yeah, very good class. How we should be respectful, faithful, respectful towards others. Even there may be some fault, we don't know what their relationship is with Krishna, even there's some difficulty. Just like Krishna says in the Gita, Apichetsadaracha, you know, that even someone commits the most abominable activity, if he's engaged in devotional service, he's understood to be saintly because he's properly situated. Some of you may be having difficulty now, but you don't know what's going to happen in the future. Just like you all heard of Rameshwar, one of the 11 original gurus Prabhupada chose. So he had big difficulty, but now he's doing very nicely in New York, going to Mangalartik every day. Very fired up for book distribution again. So we don't know. Someone may be having difficulty now, but in the future they may be doing nicely again. So better to always be respectful. Just like that example is there of the bee. The bee is always looking for honey. Honey. Always looking for the good. And the fly is always looking for stool, looking for the bad. So we should always try to be bee-likes. Bee-like devotees. Not fly-like. Even you see here someone criticizing, you know, politely just kind of excuse yourself, you know. We shouldn't even hear, we should not criticize, nor should we hear criticism. Prabhupada says in one purport that he says there's many good souls. He says a good soul is someone who sees an insignificant asset, some good, and they magnify it. That's a good soul. See the good in others. He said there's many bad souls. A bad soul is someone who sees an insignificant fault and magnifies. So we want to be good souls. Very important. Another characteristic of a brahmacharya is that they control the senses. We have to control the senses. Either we are controlled by the senses, or we control the senses. If you're controlled by the senses, you're in trouble. Because all kinds of chaotic things happen. When we're, it's like, you know, the picture of the five horses, which represent the senses. The reins is the mind. The driver is the intelligence. Chariot is the body. The passenger is the soul. So we have to control the senses by the mind. But the mind has to be controlled by the intelligence. There's like a hierarchy there. So therefore our intelligence has to be very sharp. And how does the intelligence get sharp? Sadhana. This is another very important aspect of a brahmacharya, is that we're regularly reading shastra. This keeps the intelligence sharp so that we're not bewildered by the material nature. This is Kali Yuga, very difficult age. Krishna, he told Uddhava that you should leave. Kali Yuga is coming. Very degraded age. So we have to be very careful in our Krishna consciousness. And by practicing sadhana bhakti very carefully, then we're protected from Maya in this Kali Yuga. Another characteristic of a brahmacharya is that he avoids association with women. Not that there's anything, I mean, there's many great women within our society. Another aspect of a brahmacharya is that they see all women as mother. So we shouldn't, there's eight different rules of a brahmacharya. Shouldn't think of women, shouldn't look at women, shouldn't have sexual intercourse with women. So there's different, I can't remember all of them. They're there. But very important is that we have to be very respectful to women. They're our mother. How respectful are you to your mother? Most respect goes to the mother, isn't it? You all know the Indians have so much love for the mother and for the father. In the West, we don't know that as much as you do here. So much respect has to be there for the women within our society and in general. So this is very, very important. If you don't have respect for our women devotees, then you're not going to be able to remain brahmacharya, because that's offensive. Sometimes brahmacharya become fanatical, and with that fanaticism comes offenses. So if you offend women, then it will be very difficult for you to not only remain brahmacharya, but remain a devotee, because Krishna doesn't appreciate it. as we heard this morning, it hurts the heart of Krishna when we're offensive to devotees. But at the same time, we have to be careful. If you want to remain brahmachari, it's not an easy thing. You have to be very determined. Just like one devotee went to Radhanath Swami and said, Maharaj, I have one question. I'm not sure whether I want to go into household life or not. And Radhanath Swami says, then you should get married. Because to stay brahmachari, you have to have firm determination. You can't be, I'm not sure if I want to go into household life or not. As soon as you think that, just get married. So, to remain brahmachari, you have to be vyavasyatmika buddhirtas Krishna. I'm not interested in anything else. And it's a very nice life. It's a very nice life. Because as I said, we're just hearing and chanting and serving. And in order to stay brahmachari, vyavasyatmikabuddhir, ekeha kurana, vishyavanivartante, raha rasidena, that one must get a higher taste. And many times devotees ask, how have you been brahmachari so long? It's such a difficult thing. So I tell them that I've gotten a higher taste of book distribution. Book distribution is such a nice activity that you could devote yourself to this activity of distributing Prabhupada's books. You'll get great happiness. And you won't even think. Of course, maybe sometime you'll think of household life, but because you're getting such a nice taste from book distribution, it doesn't stay there. Because book distribution is a very, very ecstatic activity. Going out, approaching people, it's an adventure. You don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next. And so many people are benefiting from getting Srila Prabhupada's books. You're getting purified because of distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And in order to distribute books, you have to have very strong sadhana. So it's very, very conducive for remaining brahmachari, for remaining Krishna conscious in general. So this is highly recommended. How many in here are book distributors? Two? Many of you are young bhaktas, right? So I recommend get into book distribution. It's very ecstatic. You'll get a very wonderful taste for Krishna consciousness. So there's another statement in the Srimad Bhagavatam by Lord Rishabhdev. He says, Pungsak Striyamaituni Pavamitam Tayoramito Vijay Gratimam. He says the basic principle of material existence is the attraction between male and female. And on the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes very absorbed in land, house, children, relatives, money. And thus one thinks in terms of I and mine. So this is what makes household life very difficult. Especially now the economy is going down. There's no sign of it getting any better. So it's a great struggle, actually, nowadays. Even it's said, I think it's somewhere in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says that in Kali Yuga to raise a family is like trying to maintain a kingdom in other ages. It's very difficult. If you're not a professional, if you're not a doctor or an engineer, if you're not making really good money, it's even then it's a struggle. But money is a major factor in household life. I remember one devotee was with his wife and their devotees, and she started screaming at him, "We need money!" Screaming at him. "Oh, calm down, don't worry, we'll get it for you." So it's a big anxiety. More money. Never enough money. But as brahmachari, we don't even need money. Everything's taken care of. You have a place to sleep. You get some prasad. Do some service. No anxiety. Happy life. So, yeah, it's a very nice life. And the problem, actually, is that we have these material bodies. Right? We have these male bodies that are attracted to female bodies. But actually, as we've heard many times, we're not the body. Hopefully that'll sink in. Many of us have heard this thousands and thousands thousands of times, and still it's not quite there yet. One time a devotee said, "Prabhupada, I've been reading your books so much, but I forget so much." Prabhupada said, "You keep practicing. Keep practicing with faith and determination, and eventually it'll all come. It'll all sink in." So we have to have this faith and patience, determination, and eventually it'll come. The realization will come. I'm not this body. It's dead. It's just a covering for the soul. And if you think about this body, it's not a very nice thing. I'll tell you one incident that happened in Miami. It was the worst car accident in the history of Miami. One car was going this way, other car was going this way. Somehow something happened, head-on collision. Right? So in one of the cars there was a sports car, Corvette, very nice new car. And there was a beautiful young lady and a beautiful young man in that car. And her body was completely ripped apart. Was just completely ripped open. But her face wasn't touched. So when these things happen, the police go there first, try to work things out and get people to the hospital. She was immediately dead, of course. But when he saw her body ripped open, he immediately just vomited. It was so disgusting. And he quit his job. It was so traumatic to see the inside of a body that it was just too much. But her face is very beautiful. You see? So this is Maya. Right? Maya is so expert that she has these elements in the body. Bones, and blood, and liver, and kidneys, and heart, and stool, and urine, so many elements in the body, so much blood. I think about 90% of the body is blood, liquid. But Maya is so expert that she puts all these elements together, and a man becomes mad. But if we were to see, if the skin was transparent, if you could see through the skin, it'd be a big eye-opener. It wouldn't be much attractive. It wouldn't be attractive at all. So, it's mine. It's an illusion. That you can be happy, that you can be satisfied in the association of another material body. We have so many problems ourselves. We're trying to control our mind and senses, right? We're trying to advance in Krishna consciousness. right? It's not easy. So married life means that you have, there's another mind that you have to deal with. And then you might have one or two more minds you have to deal with. So, not an easy thing. And some devotees, they have seven more minds, they have seven children, or you know, six or five children. That's very rare. But very, it's a great challenge. Sometimes the devotee asks, well, why didn't you get married? I tell them, I have enough trouble with my mind. I can't imagine, you know, dealing with another. So, of course, there's many great householders. Actually, I think most of the Mahajans are in household life. So there's many great devotees in our society also, within our ISKCON society. But still, it's difficult. You have to actually have to be a great soul to advance in Krishna consciousness in the household life. A great soul in any ashram to advance in Krishna consciousness. But especially in the household ashram, because imagine you're hungry. You're very hungry. Let's say you haven't eaten all day long. And then someone comes and they put a whole feast in front of you at the end of the day. But you can't eat it. You can't eat it. It's difficult. Or let's say you haven't eaten for 3 days and someone puts a feast in front of you and you can't eat it. It's difficult. So the main desire in the material world, the main contamination is sex. Desire. This is what Prabhupada said makes the world go round. Sex and desire. So you may be married. Let's say you have one child. Then you can't have sex for the rest of your life. But she's there. The body is there. And the senses are attracted, but you can't touch. If you touch, then it's sinful. That's Griha Medhi life. If you have sex life, for any reason other than to beget Krishna conscious children, then you're sinful. And it's very difficult for householders to control themselves. This is a problem. So better just control, tolerate. Just like there was one instance of a devotee who wanted to take sannyas. And Prabhupada was very inspired. He was encouraging him to take sannyas. And Prabhupada was very pleased that he wanted to renounce, show sense gratification, and take seriously spiritual life. So he was going to Prabhupada's room to set a date for when to take sannyas. So he went to his room, there was one servant there. So he said he wanted, this devotee that was up for sannyas told the servant, oh, I want to see Prabhupada. And he said, oh, why do you want to see Prabhupada? Oh, I'm going to speak to him about setting a date for my taking sannyas. So this servant said, what? You want to take sannyas? Do you know what that means? I mean, that means no more association with a woman the rest of your life. And he asked him, do you ever have sex desire? Sometimes. And you want to take sannyas? I don't know if you want to take such a step, you know. So then this devotee started thinking, yeah, you're right. Maybe I should take sannyas. So then the devotee started thinking, well, maybe she get married. Yeah. Maybe I should get married. So then they started thinking about different women in the temple. So imagine the situation. He's going in there to take sannyas, and all of a sudden he's already thinking about who to marry. So then he didn't see Prabhupada at that time, but the next day he saw Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, alright, so, when do you want to take sannyas? He said, well, Prabhupada, I've been thinking, actually, maybe I should get married. He said, well, what happened? You were going to take sannyas just yesterday. Why do you want to get married now? He said, well, Prabhupada, I was going to come in here and talk to you about that. And then your servant, he spoke to me and said maybe it wouldn't be such a good idea. And Prabhupada said, who is that? Who's been talking to you? And then, I won't say his name. So, Dwight said his name, and Prabhupada called him in there. What are you doing? Prabhupada was very angry. What are you doing talking to my brahmacharis? He was going to take sannyas. Now he was sitting in the corner. Now look at him. He's all washed up. Look at him. He's miserable now. What you did to him? So the devotee said, Prabhupada, he said sometimes he has sex desire. And Prabhupada said, as long as we have a material body, there will be sex desire. Very important instruction. Some of you may, you know, we all have sex desire. Sometimes that happens, it comes out. This Prabhupada is very, listen to this, Prabhupada says, very important instruction. As long as we have a material body, there will be sex desire. But when it comes, tolerate it. Let it go. You know this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Poryamanam Machalapatisham Samudamapapapasantiyatma Tadvat Kamayam Pukasanti Sarve Sasanti Apnopasakama. One who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires which enter just like rivers enter into the ocean, but it is always steady, alone achieves peace, and not the person who strives to satisfy such desires. So desires will come, sex desire will come, have no doubt. Everyone in here, it's going to happen. But let it go. Don't meditate on it. If you keep meditating on it, and you meditate on it, and you meditate on it, meditate on it, then you'll have to enter into household life. Because it'll just become obsessive. You'll become obsessed with it. And then you'll have to enter into household life. But if you're intelligent, yeah, this is just mine, just let it go. But then you can overcome, it can go. Another point is that the goal is not to be brahmachari. It's not that in the spiritual world there's only brahmacharis. The goal is to be Krishna conscious. So if you do feel that it's becoming overwhelming, then enter into household life. It's not that you can't be Krishna conscious in household life. It's easier to be Krishna conscious in brahmacharya life because there's not as much responsibility, there's not as much distraction in brahmacharya life. But you can go back to Godhead as a householder. It happens. Many times it happens. So, yeah, this is not the goal. The goal is to be completely Krishna conscious. And the household or ashram is a protective ashram. If someone has strong sex desire, then that's the only ashram where it's legal. In every other ashram, it's not legal. So it protects one from sinful activity. So, in other words, you should go into household life if it becomes overwhelming. The desire becomes overwhelming. But if it's not overwhelming, then don't bother. If it comes and goes, just let it come and go. Continue on with your service. And you'll find that it's very... That this life, this brahmacharya life, is very nice. Prabhupada said 75% chance of going back to God. Brahmacharya. 25% household. Because, again, there's less distraction. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's stated, Yanmaya Janani, Grihamedi, Sukham Vitushchan, Kanduyena Kavyor Vipukudu, Tripyanti Neya Vipana, Dukabaja, Kandutama, Manasitam, Vasahitya. That the sex life is compared to the rubbing of two hands to reveal an itch. The Grihamedis, they think that to satisfy this itching, it's the greatest pleasure. But actually it's the cause of the greatest suffering. And misers who are not satisfied by repeated sense gratification are not satisfied. Therefore they have to suffer so much. But the brahmanas, the dhiras who control this sex desire, they are not subjected to the sufferings of those who are controlled by this desire. So there's a lot of suffering. One devotee, he told me, he said, Vijaya, with words, I cannot tell you how much I suffered in my household life. So much. And another thing about book distribution, is that you see this quite a bit. I was distributing books one time and I approached one person. He said, even if you hit me in the head as hard as you could not make me feel any more pain than what I feel right now. I said, what happened? He said, I've been married for 25 years. And my wife just ran off with another man. And I was, wow. I said, wow. Brahmachari life ki jai. Because you never know what's going to happen. And it's happened in our society also. Someone's been married for 10, 20 years. And the wife just leaves. Very painful. Very painful. So you never know what's going to happen. You don't know, just like when you get married, you don't know her that well, so you don't know what she's going to be like, nor do you know what you're going to be like with her, because you're entering into a whole other life now. You're living with a woman. You don't know what you're going to be like. Many times, men, householders, they beat their wives, which is terrible. Now, when they got married, I'm sure he wasn't thinking, yeah, I'm going to beat her. I'm sure he wasn't thinking that. But it just becomes such a strain. He loses control of himself. He starts beating his wife. It's horrible. Ridiculous. Illegal. So, nor do you know, I mean, when you have a child, you don't know what the child's going to be like. It's like, you have no idea. Of course, the plan is to have Krishna conscious child and he chants 16 rounds and goes back to Godhead. But amongst our devotees who have had children, there's not many that have come out really looking good, chanting their 16 rounds and serving Krishna with determination. It's very difficult. The reason is, or one of the reasons, when children are growing up within our society, they grow up with beads, they grow up associated with devotees, they grow up with a philosophy. So, you know, the same familiarity breeds contempt. You become very familiar. Just like myself, I grew up in America, and at about 22 I went on a spiritual search, and then I found Krishna conscious philosophy, I found the devotees, and I was just like, people chanting Hare Krishna and the philosophy, it was all completely new to me. And I loved it. But with the children growing up, they grow up with everything. So by the time they get into their late teens or early 20s, they've seen everything. They know the philosophy. They know everything. And they've heard about the material nature. And it becomes attractive. Maya becomes attractive because they know everything about Krishna consciousness. And then the senses start going wild also. Hormones kick in, so it becomes difficult for them to take this straight, narrow path of Krishna consciousness because of having known so much. And the senses are pushing, the material nature is there, Maya is there, also kind of pulling. So it's very difficult. I mean, I'm sure I would have difficulty if I grew up in a devotee family. Of course, a big part of a child coming out Krishna conscious, shining with bright colors of Krishna consciousness, is the parents. If the parents are Krishna conscious, then the chances of the children being Krishna conscious are much higher. But even within our society, there's so much divorce. So much divorce. I don't know if it's the same as the materialists, but it's very high. Lots of divorce. Because, you know, when you get married, your hope is that this will be a nice, this devotee will be very nice and will help each other in Krishna consciousness. But, you know, when you get married, you're not going to be marrying Radharani. She's not going to have the qualities of Radharani. And she's not going to be marrying Krishna. You know, you're not Krishna either. You know, you don't have all the wonderful qualities of Krishna either. You know. So we all have our flaws. And you know, after years and years of seeing those flaws, and then another flaw comes up, and eventually it just becomes too much, and then, Prabhu, I can't live with it anymore. So that's divorce. You know. So there's a lot of disappointment. But if you devote yourself to Krishna, you'll never be disappointed. This is the advantage of Krishna consciousness. Krishna will never disappoint you. Nor will Radharani disappoint you. But in household life, we can disappoint ourselves. And the person that we marry can disappoint us. And the children can disappoint us. So there's a large amount of space for disappointment in the household ashram. So it's something that you should think about. Actually, every day you should think about the pros and cons, the advantages and disadvantages. Now there's a long list of disadvantages. A long list of disadvantages of household life. And there's very few advantages. The one advantage, actually, think about it, there's only one advantage to household life. That you're not going to be sinful. You have sex desire. Right? So in household life, you won't be sinful. It will be legal sex. This is the advantage. Actually, no, there's more advantages. If the woman is a good devotee, she can help you. And this happens. There's many very, very advanced ladies in our society who help their husbands advance in spiritual life. So that is there also. So there are some some advantages, but there's a lot of disadvantages. So you should meditate on this. It's always encouraged in the Bhagavatam. Or Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Saraswati Thakur. That if you can't actually, there's the four, there's Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. So the first 25 years is Brahmacharya. You're learning from the Guru. And he's explaining the disadvantages of material life. He's explaining you should devote yourself to Krishna. Now if Brahmacharya isn't able to do that, okay, the Guru says, alright, then you can go into this ashram. You can go into Grihastha ashram. But it's always encouraged to stay Brahmacharya. And either stay Brahmacharya throughout your life, or you can go straight from Brahmacharya to Sannyas. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he did that. So, if it can be avoided, better avoid it. It's in the Bhagavatam, it's stated, Andhukupam. It's a dark well. If you're walking down the forest and you fall into a dark well, there's no one there, you're shouting, no one can hear you. So this is the Bhagavatam, it's a dark well. There's a lot of difficulty in this ashram. But if you're careful, then you can avoid falling in to this situation. But you had to be very serious, very determined. Now to change your cloth to saffron, not a difficult thing. Just go to Boy Bazaar, get some cloth, and I probably have it right here. But to change the heart from white to saffron, that's the difficult thing. We want to change the heart. So the heart changes by this hearing and chanting. We have to hear with rapt attention. Just like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in one purport, Prabhupada says that if one hears with rapt attention Srimad Bhagavatam, one can see Krishna on every page. But to hear with rapt attention, one must be pure in mind. But to be pure in mind, one must be pure in action. To be pure in action, one must be pure in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So it's interesting that our hearing with rapt attention is dependent on these things. Eating, what do we eat for? We eat to keep the body and soul together. We eat to get purified. It's prasadam. We shouldn't eat too much. Just like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he had one sannyasi disciple who was a little overweight. He had a big belly. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said to him, "What is Krishna going to do with your big belly?" So he chastised him in that way. So we don't need a big belly. There's nothing Krishna can do with it. Just eat enough to keep body and soul together. We don't have to eat much. So eating, sleeping, Prabhupada said we don't need more than 6, maybe 7 hours. Otherwise we go into ignorance, become sluggish, go into the mode of ignorance, too much sleep. When Prabhupada used to take rest, before he would put his head down, he would say, "Now I'm going to waste time." Prabhupada so Krishna conscious. He knew the body had to rest, but he would rest reluctantly. He wouldn't want to sleep. because he was so absorbed trying to serve Krishna. So we should try to develop this mood that it's, that we do it reluctantly. We have to rest the body. But what we should really be aim for is just trying to please Krishna, always trying to please Krishna. This is the essence of brahmacharya life, the essence of all the ashrams, is that we're doing whatever we're doing to please Krishna. So eating, sleeping, mating, of course in brahmacharya there's no mating. But when the thought comes, let it go. Kick it out. It won't do any benefit to me, the soul. Just let it go. And defense. Defense, we don't have any. Defense. This is a major thing in the material world, is defense. People get into, just like people that get into household life, there's so much security systems around their home. So much insurance to protect them from losing things. So brahmacharya life is very simple. Makes it easy to hear and chant the glories of Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, also it's stated, tapasa brahmacharyena yamenava yamenava. Samena chaja mena chaja. Chagena satya sau yavya. Chagena satya sau. Chagena satya sau yavya. Yamena ni yamena. That to control the mind, one must lead a life of celibacy. Because the mind goes out of control. Because it's so much in the bodily conception of life. There's nothing, there's no activity that puts one in the bodily conception of life more than sex. Just the whole body becomes overwhelmed by material pleasure, which doesn't satisfy the soul. So to control the mind, one must lead a life of celibacy. One must control the senses. So many senses we have to control. Chagena must be renounced. One must be truthful, satyam. Chagena satya saudhyam. One must be clean, both internally and externally. One must not become angry. And one must chant the holy names of Krishna. So this is how to control the mind. So maybe I'll leave some time. Do you have any questions or comments? Yes.
Thank you, Prabhupada, for the class. Prabhupada, you mentioned till the time we are in this body, the sexual desires would be there. Mm-hmm. So how do we understand the status of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj? And he had put a question before the assembly regarding Gaur Krishnadas Babaji when he had to be cremated, that anybody who has not had a thought about any sexual desire within a week, within a month, within a day. And so how do we understand
the same question? Now he said anybody who has not had sex.
Yeah.
So they were actually having sex. Yeah, they weren't just thinking about it. You understand? So what is the question?
Regarding like till the time we are in this body, he said we will have sexual thoughts and desires. So how do we understand the situation of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj and
So you're asking,
they had material bodies.
Yeah.
So how did they also have sexual desires and thoughts?
Oh, you mean Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself? Well, he's a special soul. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's a Shakti Veshavatar who has descended to help us advance in spiritual life. And Prabhupada mentions, just to clarify this, Prabhupada mentions that a pure devotee of the Lord does not have a material body because of his being surcharged with the identical interests of Krishna. So he's surcharged with the identical interest of Krishna. So there's no, he doesn't have it, his body is completely spiritual. Because his only interest is mind, his intelligence, and therefore his whole body is in serving Krishna. So therefore he doesn't have a material body. And also, if we're engaged completely in the service of Krishna, trying to, you know, actually trying to please Krishna, then we also don't have a material body. Because it's being utilized in the service of Krishna. Just like a vegetable, before it's offered to Krishna, it's just a broccoli. But when it's offered to Krishna, then it becomes prasadam. So if we're just engaged in the devotional service of Krishna, we also don't have a material body. Do you have a question? We'll go back to you. Yeah.
So what are the possible causes a brahmachari change in ashram?
What
are the possible causes, the reasons?
What are the reasons? What are the reasons that one changes ashrams? Well, mainly it's sex desire. Sometimes a devotee, he wants a companion, or sometimes the ashram, brahmachari ashram, is getting to be too much. So, therefore he wants to have a separate situation. There's different reasons. Mainly it's sex desire, but there's other reasons there. So therefore, in the brahmachari ashram, the atmosphere should be so nice that you wouldn't want to live in any other situation. Your dealings with one another should be very nice. So that you feel happy in Krishna consciousness. So you feel happy in your brahmacharya ashram. But if there's bickering, then it becomes very difficult. Prabhupada once said that the profession of the neophyte is to bicker. You understand the word bicker?
Complain.
Not complain. Well, bicker means kind of to argue. You understand argue?
Yes.
Argue. How do you say argue in Hindi?
Bahas.
Yeah. Argue. Little things. You argue about little things. Little insignificant. You argue. Back and forth. This is called bickering. So Prabhupada said this is the profession of the neophyte. Is to argue about little things. Insignificant. So we should be very tolerant. Important, very important. We have to be tolerant. And compassionate. Tatikshiva konunaka. Surda sarvadi. Ajata sattvadasan. Sadhava sarvadushan. Tolerance is the first quality of the Vaishnava. You're living amongst one another. So something may happen that angers you. So be tolerant. Forgiving. Don't give in to anger. This is one of the qualities of this age, is that you become very angry. Prayadam, payusahas, kalavas, lazy, misguided, unlucky, above all, always disturbed. So we have to be tolerant. Then we should be compassionate and forgiving, friend to everyone. So as long as we're hearing nicely these qualities, we're hearing the holy name nicely, we're hearing the philosophy nicely, these qualities will come. Yeah. Somebody else had it? Yeah.
One statement you mentioned here, as long as we have material body, the sex desire remains.
Yeah.
And you said that one has to learn to tolerate it, it will go away. The same thing is also confirmed in Network Instruction, where Rupa Goswami mentions, Yetana Vegan Mishayeti Dhyana. One has to tolerate the urge and it will go away. When we come to the definition of pure devotional service, it is mentioned Anya Abhilashita Shunyam. All the material there should be zero. So it seems how to understand these two statements. Seems contradictory and it is the same. And once come to the platform of pure devotional service, that is not there. What is it?
Well, it's a good question. Because there's also a statement by Yamunacharya. He says, Yadavadhi Mamichetti Krishna Padaravinde Nava Navarasadhami Nodhimatimasa Tadavadhi Patinari Sangame Swayamani Bhavati Mukavikara Sushtu Nishtivanamcha. He says, since I've been engaged in the devotional service of Krishna, experiencing ever fresh pleasure at every moment, whenever I think of sex desire, my lips curl in distaste and I spit at the thought. So here's a person, Dimunacharya, he's a pure devotee, experiencing ever fresh pleasure at every moment, but sex desire comes. Let it go. So this is a pure devotee. He's got a material body, he's absorbed in Krishna, but still the sex desire may come. He lets it go. Spits on the thought.
This is the body until the end of the death.
So Prabhupada said it. Yamunacharya, he confirms it in this verse, famous verse, you know. So, yeah, even a pure devotee, this may come. But there's different levels of pure devotees also. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, I would have 100 children if I knew that they would be Krishna conscious.
Yeah.
Well, that's also the desire may come, but he lets it go. That's also zero. It didn't even came, but it didn't have left. Yeah, ultimately it's zero. Yes.
Thank you, Guru, for the next class. I want to ask you in America to do distribution. So
not easy to be Brahmachari in America, I'll tell you.
So Prabhupada said that, you know, that one should speak with women only for important business and not otherwise. Say in UN, America, or even in India, you know, sometimes women approach Brahmachari. Is it offensive to tell them that, can we tell them that, you know, Prabhupada said that, you know,
They don't go away?
You know how it is.
Sometimes they get attached, yeah? Well, when we're distributing books, we shouldn't approach women unless you don't feel any attraction. Generally, there's attraction. So better be safe than sorry. Charity begins at home. You've heard the saying? Charity begins at home. So we're trying to be Krishna conscious. The example is given of fire and butter. If fire goes near butter, what happens? It melts. So women is compared to fire. Man is compared to butter. We melt. In this, because it's easy. In the Bhagavatam, it said that the form of a woman is the personification of illusion. A very powerful illusion. So, but if you're distributing books and someone approaches you and is interested in taking a book, explain to her about the book. Try to distribute a book to her. I distribute a lot of books to women. I'm at a table at the university. I'm not approaching anybody, but they come to my table. And I distribute books to them. But like I said, if you get a higher taste on book distribution, then you're not interested. Believe it or not, women have approached me on Sankirtan for sex. So I just have to kind of let it be known to them, not interested. So if you get a higher taste, then even a woman approaches for sex. Sorry, I'm not interested. Haridas Thakur, in the dead of night, he was in the cave, and Maya Devi came to induce him to fall down. And she was exhibiting postures, you know, erotic postures in front of him. And she was expressing her, she had a desire to be with him. He said, no problem, just wait, I've got to finish a few rounds here. And then she's waiting there, waiting, waiting. And then, you know, he practically doesn't stop chanting, so eventually she left. And then she came back the next day. And Haridas Thakur apologized. Oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't satisfy your desires yesterday, but today I'll certainly, I just have a few rounds to chant here. So he chanted. As much as she left again, the next day she came and she apologized. Actually, I came here to fall down, to make you fall down. He said, I know that, but I wanted you to get purified. And then she became a devotee. So, of course, he's the most exalted example of a devotee, transcendental. But we have to also, we have to become transcendental. And this comes by this process, Krishna consciousness. Actually, this sex desire is a perverted reflection of our love for Krishna. Material desire is a perverted reflection of our love for Krishna. So this human form of life is an opportunity to give up all our material desires and develop our love for Krishna. This is the real pleasure of the soul. And household life means, in one sense, it's imitation. You're trying to imitate Krishna and Radharani, trying to be the enjoyer. We're not the Purushas. We're not the enjoyers. We're Prakriti. We're meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. So we're trying to develop this understanding once again. I am meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. I'm not the enjoyer. Krishna is the enjoyer. Bhogdaram Yogyatama Sam. It's Harvalokamation. Suradam Sam. Gyatam Sam. Then we become peaceful. It's okay?
Yeah. The question is what about when you preach to congregations? Then many times you have to talk to women, and then like how can we keep ourselves safe?
So the question is sometimes we're cultivating congregational members, and sometimes there's women that we have to speak to. Now we shouldn't be fanatical. Sorry, Mataji, I'm a brahmachari, I can't speak to you. We could, you know, speak to her for some time, but not get too involved. You know, speak some, be polite, spend a little time, and then you can excuse yourself, politely excuse yourself. And most of the congregational members, they know our culture. Brahmacharis, you know, we shouldn't speak too much to women to maintain our brahmacharya. We have to be careful.
Please comment on the statement that like Prabhupada said that one instruction of spiritual master he can make if he tells him to get married.
Excuse me.
This statement is there that if spiritual master tells you to get married, you can break this instruction.
Oh, controversial instruction. I don't know of any instance where Prabhupada instructed someone to get married. I think that of course this is a little touchy. I don't know if I can comment on that. And because the order of the spiritual master disciple accepts his life and soul. But if someone doesn't want to get married, and the spiritual master instructs him to get married, I don't know, that's a touchy one. I don't know what I could say about that. There is an instance in the Bhagavatam or something? Lord, was it Narada Muni was instructing him not to get married? Brahma, and then Brahma instructed him to get married. And his father also was instructing him to get married. Now who was his Swayambhuva Manu? Now who was his guru though? Narada Muni was his guru. So he was instructing him not to get married. But Brahma is on a higher level. He's the spiritual master of Narada Muni and the father.
I think there is a statement, I cannot in this moment, but I remember many years ago, some spiritual master talked about that, and this topic same on the lecture. The point is, like, it's not like so offensive, like if you reject in that sense, that it's like so, you can like don't agree with that instruction with your guru, but it's on your responsibility, so to say, to don't follow that instruction of guru. Something like that. I cannot quote, unfortunately, at this moment. It's like in Bhagavatam, there is.
It's not a big offense. The spiritual master might even appreciate his determination.
I don't know. According to the speaker, he said it. He said in Bhagavatam. I cannot quote Bhagavatam, but it's one existing guru who said like that. That you can reject instruction of guru if he told you to marry, like you have like that right.
I remember also something vague about that also.
Something,
but you know,
in Bhagavatam, but I don't know exactly.
Yeah. And also Bhishma, he was instructed by Parashuram to marry this lady, and he was so determined not to marry that he fought Parashuram. And I think it was a tie, right? I don't think nobody defeated anybody else. I think Parashuram was just he was appreciating his determination, and he didn't marry that lady. So I don't know if he was his guru. I don't think he was his guru.
Martial teacher.
So he was a guru. So he was. He accepted. And I think he appreciated his determination.
Second canto, that Brahma when he took to Chatushkumara.
Oh yeah, the Kumaras. He also wanted the Kumaras to get married, and the Kumaras, they said no. And they not only did they say no, they didn't want to get married, and Brahma became very angry. Because that was the beginning of the universe, and he wanted the population to grow. So they said no. And not only did they say no, but they were this mystic ability that they didn't even get older than 5 years old. Because they knew after five, sex desire is going to hit. Sex desire is going to enter, and then it'll be difficult. So they kept these five-year-old bodies. Pretty amazing pastime. So there's an instance there. He's definitely the guru, father and guru, and Brahma became so angry that that's how Shiva, Rudra, appeared from the eyebrows of Brahma because of his anger for the... I don't know if he... I guess eventually he relented and appreciated because they became such great sages in the universe traveling around preaching Krishna consciousness. Go ahead.
Prabhu, you mentioned the children born in our society did not usually or generally turn out to be good devotees. And you said familiarity breeds contempt. Then how do we understand practice makes perfect? So practicing, so where did they, what happened in their practice which made them familiar?
Well, just like all of us, when you're growing up with something, you become very familiar. You become familiar with your parents, become familiar with familiarity breeds contempt. And therefore, it's a very common thing that the child rebels against a parent. It's a very common thing. In India also? It's common? Yeah? I mean, in America, it's like really common.
Today I was talking to one study buddy, he was telling the same point.
Yeah.
His child is rebelling very
quickly. Yeah. So they become familiar with the parents, they become familiar with the process. Practice makes perfect. That's true. If you really want that. If you want that thing that you're trying to achieve, then it makes perfect. But if you don't even want it, then it'll be hard for that perfection to come. You have to want it. And just like we all want to be Krishna conscious, and we're practicing very sincerely to achieve that pure Krishna consciousness. So therefore, by this practice, eventually we'll become perfect. But if you don't even want it, see, that's the problem. See, eventually, the children who grow up in our society, they also have to decide at one point, I want to join the Hare Krishna movement. When they're born, they haven't necessarily joined. They have to make up their mind that I want Krishna. I don't want Maya. Just like we made up our minds. So they also have to make up their mind at one point. I don't want the illusory energy, I want Krishna. Because when they're growing up, that opportunity is there. They can choose. Just like we chose, they can choose. And it's more difficult for them because it's not new to them. This is all new. Even though you're all born in India, the Hare Krishna movement is new to you, isn't it? In Hinduism, there's so many gods, there's this, you know, so everything is vague and unclear. But when you come to Krishna consciousness, everything is very clear, right? So it's new to you, in one sense, right? Yeah.
Isn't that the connection with Prabhupada Asana? I heard one incident about the Buddha's number in the Swami. He said that before taking sannyas, he was a servant of Prabhupada in Mumbai. And then in some instance, he was sent to Kenya for teaching. And there are some, he met some family, and their family has two girls. And they were also disciples of Prabhupada. And then the parents, they told to Maharaj that...
The girls or the parents? Her parents.
The parents of the girl.
They're Prabhupada disciples?
And the parents were disciples.
Okay, but not the girls, okay.
The parents told to Maharaj, that time was not a sannyasi, that would you like to get married with my daughter? And then he said no. He said, I'll ask to my spiritual master. But whatever, he came back, and he was massaging Prabhupada. And then he asked Prabhupada that one question. And Prabhupada said, ask. Then he asked that I had gone to Kenya. And there I met one family, and we became familiar. And that family wants that to give his daughter to me. Then Prabhupada asked, the elder one or the younger one? Then he said that...
Prabhupada knew them also?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then Maharaj said that, no, the younger one. Yeah, that's good. The elder one is not good. then Maharaj became more intuitive. And he said, but Prabhupada, I don't want to get married. I don't want to... He said, then what do you want? Then... Maharaj said that, Prabhupada, I want to become like a renounced person, I want to become your servant, I want to become completely dedicated to life, the life of Nisai. Then Prabhupada said, okay, then no problem, get ready for sannyas. And then eventually he took sannyas.
1975. Yeah. Still a sannyasi. Naishtika. Naishtika Brahmacharya. So that's another thing of Navayugendra Swami. That's another thing about the celibacy is that the semina goes up and nourishes the brain. So it's very healthy. It's called the elixir of life. Very good. Makes the brain sharp also. He's very sharp. Nice. Any other question? Yeah.
Prabhuji, from the Bhagavatam, the four Kumaras kept the body of a 5-year-old child.
Mm-hmm.
So when they were not in bodily consciousness, so why did they give any importance to the body?
The four Kumaras, you tell me?
And especially if the body itself does not have any consciousness, it's dead. So, why?
So why did they keep their young bodies, you say? Well, I guess this, like I said, even with Yamunacharya, Prabhupada said it also, that you have a material body, sex desire is going to be there. So they didn't want to deal with it at all. Kumaras just did not want to deal with it. At all. Didn't want it to even be an issue. You understand? Didn't even want it to be an issue. Just 5 years old, just chant Hare Krishna, just go back to Godhead. Because it's an issue. It's the main problem in the material world. Sex desire is the main problem. It's what keeps people in material bodies. Life after life, you know, the pigs are doing it, the cockroaches are doing it, the birds are doing it. You know, they're all living entities. This is the main attachment. And Prabhupada mentions in one purport that household life means the piercing thorns is grihastha life, because there's so much anxiety. Maintaining the children, maintaining the wife, you know, trying to help them be Krishna conscious. Amazing statement there, Prabhupada says, piercing thorns of grihastha life. Sometimes the wife will speak harshly due to familiarity again. And sometimes the husband also, it goes both ways. It's not that it's just a woman. And sometimes the man is a jerk, sometimes the woman is a jerk. But it's in both cases, it's the piercing thorn. Sometimes the children are cruel. I've seen this also. Sometimes the children speak in very cruel ways. The parents, it's very painful. Or do things that are disturbing. The parent always wants the child to do what they want. It's painful. Just like so many devotees became Hare Krishnas. Very painful. Very painful. One devotee in Calcutta told me that his mother came to the temple in Mayapur, and she came and she was just banging her head on the ground till blood was coming, banging her head. Give me back my son! Screaming, give me back my son! As though they had taken him. He went there voluntarily. Brahmachari there. It's just like, I mean, very painful for her. She had plans for her children. And then he became a Hare Krishna. And no more money, right? Devotees, believe it or not, devotee Indians go to America, they go to school to, you know, get some profession. And then they go and become devotees. And they give up their profession. And the parents have given all their life savings to send them to America to get a nice education, make a lot of money. And then they just become brahmacharis. lose everything, yeah? Devastated. Very painful. So also, we may put so much effort into raising our children to become devotees, and they just become karmas. Same thing, you know, very painful. Yeah. And this happens a lot. Our devotees' children, they just go out and become businessmen and don't chant Hare Krishna, don't read Prabhupada's books, sometimes they engage in sinful activities. Very painful. So much effort, so much money, so much put into raising the child to be Krishna conscious. Then, disappointed. So much just happens. So again, like I said, you don't want to be disappointed, establish a relationship with Krishna. You'll never be disappointed. But guaranteed, you get married, they'll be disappointed. To one level or another, you'll disappoint her, she'll disappoint you, and even you will disappoint yourself. Because to raise a family properly, not easy. And even it's stated, Guru na sasyat. What is that? Guru na sasyat? And another sasyat. Yes. That one should not become a guru, one should not become a father, one should not become a mother, one should not become a teacher, if one cannot deliver your dependent. So if you're qualified, if you're not qualified to deliver someone, then this is the instruction of the Bhagavatam. If you are qualified, then why get involved at all? If you're so pure that you're qualified to deliver somebody from material existence, why mess with it? Just chant Hare Krishna and go back to God. Right? Why waste your energy? Why waste your time? Okay. Anything else? Yes, please.
One last question. Comparing two things. One is child who goes to Gurukul from a very early age, and he studies there and develops. And one is who is coming from outside, and then he joins, like many of us. So is the first way, the chance of maintaining or remaining brahmachari are more?
So he's born in a devotee family, you're saying?
Yeah.
And then he somehow actually this happens. This,
goes to Gurukul and then grows up. So his chances of remaining brahmachari or continuing like devotional life or becoming a brahmachari are more than one who comes from karmi life and then becomes a devotee.
Well, we'd have to see the statistics. But from what we've seen in our society, I mean, I don't know of even one Guru Kuli. That is still a brahmachari. Not one. And I know a lot. I mean, some of them remain devotees, but I don't know of even one brahmachari. Some of them, I know of some. I actually know there's one. I'm sorry, there is one. There's one. Gaur Kishore. Who he was in the Gurukul here, I think. He's a brahmachari in San Jose. So out of all the Gurukulis that I know that I can think of one. Who he's actually determined. He's a disciple of Radhanath Swami.
Gauranga Kishore.
Yeah, he used to be Gaur. Now it's Gauranga Kishore. He had another name. We used to call him Gorky. Gaur Kishore used to be his name. Now it's Gauranga Kishore, right? So he's a brahmachari. So yeah, it seems from our statistics that we have right now, it seems like it's easier to stay a brahmachari if you just come out from the material world and join at 20 or something, then you could become stay a brahmachari. Because we have a lot of brahmacharis. You go to Radhanath Swami's Chaupati, there's like 100 brahmacharis. You go to Pune, so many brahmacharis here. Also, you join probably in your 20s, still brahmachari. So it seems like it's easier to be a brahmachari if you join at 20. But there are instances, which is rather interesting, of devotees joining, having a child, leading Krishna consciousness, and then the child finding the books later on when they're 18 or 19, and then becoming devotees. And even their parents are still not devotees. But not brahmachari. I don't know if any of them have become brahmachari. But becoming devotees. Yeah. Even more strict than people whose parents had stayed in, and they had stayed in. And again, because they didn't have that familiarity. It's something that, I don't know, we have to somehow work out. Yes?
Prabhupada said that this third generation of devotees will become perfect. So how is that? If it is becoming like this?
Well, Prabhupada also said that if my disciples were sincere, if they would follow my instructions, we could take over the world in 18 days. So it's a question of how we're raising children. So many children were abused and therefore became very bitter. It's not automatic. We have to, the devotees within our society, they have to be sincere teachers, sincere guides. It's not automatic. There has to be some proper guidance there. And unfortunately, we were lacking a lot in that area. So therefore we didn't get the result we were searching for. When these children were growing up right here in Vrindavan, they were thinking that they were, you know, they were going to grow up and take sannyas, and they were all going to be like little, you know, like Narada Munis, you know. And so were the grihasthas. They were thinking, yeah, these nice little brahmachari boys are going to grow up and take sannyas and preach Krishna consciousness around the world. But then so much abuse, improper training. That had a lot to do with it, I think. And they also had their desires that they had to deal with. Okay. So how many of you are determined now to stay brahmachari? All of you, eh? Wow. Well, good luck. You're going to need it.
We need your prayers.
Okay, you have my blessings? You bless me also. I need your blessings also. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Oh, no, that's it.